base here. At the bottom of Ches Amud Beis, we start a we go back to what we're talking about, but it's going to take us into other things. The Gemara tells us, quoting from the Mishnah, Ushtaim Chitzonios. You see it, is that what we're up to? No, we did that? Yeah, we did that. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Where is it? Where am I here? Oh, I'm on the right page. My Gemara on the wrong page on Safari. That's why I threw myself off. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Zu Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Ava Chachamim Omrim. Rishus Achas Mishmashes Terishios. So this is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. What's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon? The opinion of Rabbi Shimon is that the middle guy is allowed to eat with righty and lefty, but he's not allowed to. They're not allowed to go to him. That's what it sounds like. Well, no, he's allowed to go with them, and they're allowed to go with him. There's a big machlokas Rashi and Tosfos as to whether or not it goes both ways, or it's only one way according to Rabbi Shimon. Either way, says the chachamim, that one rishus can be used as two, about lo shtei rishus mishamashos rishus achas, but two can't be used as one, i.e., that it's usher for the person to carry from the middle to the ends, or from the ends to carry to the middle. Let's see, chacham on Rashi says deloshna nasa shteim eruv b'emsayis. Doesn't matter if both of the sides made an eruv with the middle guy. Loshna nasa emsayis eruvin bazu bazu. It doesn't matter if the middle guy made an eruv in both of them. He asura imahen vehein mutarin imah. He is not allowed to go to them, but they're allowed to go to him. Okay, so he's got to stay in his place. Ki amrisa kamei de Shmuel. When they said this phrase to Shmuel, Amar li, or when I said, Rabbi Yehuda says, when I said this to Shmuel, he said to me, avzu div Rabbi Shimon. Even that is the Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Ava chachamim omrim shloshtan asuros. Right, this is why I got mixed up before, that according to Rabbi Shimon, according to Shmuel, according to the Mishnah means that for Rabbi Shimon, the middle guy can't go to them, but they can come to him. And for the Chachamim, none of them can go to each other. You're never allowed to have this. Why? Well, we'll see in a second. Tanakh Vasad Rabbi Yehuda Alib Shmuel Amar Rabbi Shimon. There's a Braisa which seems to support Shmuel's understanding of Rabbi Shimon. We saw this a little bit in the Mishnah, but this is fleshing it out a little more. What does that mean? Practically, what it means is the person in the middle. This one. It says Irvushtaim Imam says, right? So they brought it into the middle. They both made an Erev in the middle. This is with houses and big chatzeros, not in the little four amos that they're stuck in. Right? So the houses and chatzeros here. So Irvushtaim Imam says, Zum Evia Mitoch Beisav Ochelas. This one from the outer side is allowed to bring into the middle and eat. Zum Evia Mitoch Beisav Ochelas. And this one's allowed to bring from the other side, the lefty, into the middle and eat. Zum Achzaras Masra Osoch Beisav. Zum Achzaras Masra Osoch Beisav. This one brings his food back, and this one brings his food back. But it never says that the middle one is allowed to take his food to the other people. But the Chachamim say, and this is in the same Braisa, the Chachamim say, none of them are allowed to go into anyone else's courtyard. And Shmuel is going according to his own reasoning, because Shmuel says, if there's a courtyard within two mavois, there's a whole sort of convoluted way to draw this up. But if you've got a chatzer means that it's the direct courtyard of a house, as opposed to a mavoi, which is the courtyard of the courtyards to a bunch of houses. So this is a situation where you have, I can show it to you. I don't know if you're going to be able to see it so clearly. You see there's a chatzer in the middle, which is connected directly to houses. And then that chatzer opens up into other mavois, which aren't right adjacent to houses, but they're adjacent to other other courtyards which are adjacent to the houses. So, the Amar Shmuel Chatzer Shebein Shtei Mevuos, this courtyard which is between these communal courtyards. Well, how do we translate a mavoi again? Establish an Erev with both, an alleyway, right, an alleyway. Right, so you have the chatzar in between two alleyways. Ereva im shnehem, asura im shnehem. If you made an Eruv with both sides, so imagine the chatzar is in the middle, and you have the mavoy, which is connecting multiple chatzars. If the people in the middle chatzar, make an Eruv with both side mavoys, so then you're not allowed to go to either one of them, according to Shmuel. Right, this is the same as the people in the Dalai Lama's case with the righty and lefty. So ler lo irva im shnehem. If you don't make an erev with both of them, oseras al shnehem. So therefore, because this person hasn't made an erev with either of them, so then even both of the mavois can't walk around in their own mavoi, because this person has access to those mavois. So basically the implication is like this. The implication is that if the chater, the guy in the middle, makes an eruv with both of the people on the side, so that makes the people on the side are allowed to walk in their eruv, in their mavoi, but the person in the middle is not allowed to walk to either of them. But if the guy in the middle doesn't make an eruv, even with the sides, so then the people on the sides aren't allowed to walk in their own mavoi, because there's somebody in their jurisdiction which is not allowed to walk in there, which hasn't combined with them. So they're going to ask for each other because they haven't combined, right? They haven't combined. If you haven't combined, so there's no good. So that's very interesting, because the guy in the middle has nothing to gain, but the people on the sides have everything to lose, right? The guy in the middle makes an eruv so that the people on the side can walk in their own eruv, can walk in their own mavoi. So the guy in the middle really doesn't gain anything. But at the same time, he doesn't want to be a jerk. So he should make an error for the people on the side. So the Gemara says, and that's Sita Shmuel, right? That's the same thing in our case with the individuals in the Dalai Lamos. You've got the guy in the middle, you got righty and lefty. If you make an error with righty and lefty, so righty and lefty are allowed to go in the middle, but the guy in the middle is not allowed to go on the sides. So the guy in the middle doesn't gain anything except for allowing the people on the sides to come into his courtyard, which I guess is a gain, but it's not necessarily, he can't do anything necessarily with walking into theirs. So the Gemara says, "Ha'isa ve'echad regila ve'echad ein regila." Here's an interesting case. Sociologically, you have one person. You have this guy in the middle. This guy in the middle likes the chatzar on the right side more than he likes the chatzar on the left side. So he says like this. Well. He usually walks to the side where he likes, and he doesn't usually go to the left. So Gemara says, "Zeh regila bo aser." The one he usually walks in, it's going to be aser if he doesn't make an eruv. But v'zesha ain't a regula b'mutter. The one that he never walks into, so they're not going to have a problem. Even though it's technically geographically connected to their chatzer, it's geographically connected to their courtyard nonetheless. Because he never walks over there, so he's not going to be oser their movement in their own mavoi. Because it's not as if there's somebody coming in that they have to combine with. It's as if they don't live together. So, Amar Rabba Bar Huna, Irva im she'en regila bo, huta regila atzmo. If he makes an Erev with the ones he's not used to walking into, right? If he makes an Erev with the people he doesn't walk with, so then, huta regila atzmo. Then the people in the other Erev are allowed to walk in there. They're allowed to carry in their own chatzer. They're no longer bound by the guy in the middle who usually walks in their chatzer. They're not bound to him ruining their Erev because he's already combined with somebody else. So the fact that he's combined with somebody else means that he's not going to be walking to them, at least in a halachic sense. And therefore, he's not going to be oser them. He's not going to prevent them from making an Erev, because he's technically not going to be walking in their jurisdiction. V'amar Rabba Baba Rav Huna, Amar Shmuel, im erva regila la'atzmo, im erva regila la'atzmo, v'zeh she'en regila bo lo erav. So let's say the people on the right, the people he usually does walk to, they make an erev to themselves. And then v'zeh she'en regila bo lo erav, and then the one that he didn't make an erev for that he doesn't usually walk into, they don't make an Erev. V'hi atzma lo Ereva, and they don't make I think that means he didn't make an Erev with the people on the side, the people that he doesn't usually walk to, and they themselves didn't make an Erev. Dochen osa etzel she'enu regilabo. So what does that mean? This is a very interesting concept. They divert the residents of the courtyard to use the alleyway when they are not accustomed to utilizing. Meaning, the person, I think this is what it means, the person who didn't make an Eruv. He didn't make an Eruv to the left, right? So imagine like this again. We're now going to use the same language we use for the individuals, but now for the chatzers. We've got middle guy, and we've got righty, and we've got lefty. I find this fascinating. The people on the right are used to having middle guy walk into their chatzer all the time. The only problem is, let's concoct a scenario here. The middle guy doesn't want to help them out. He doesn't want to make an Eruv. Again, there's not much for him to gain. So the middle guy is not making an Eruv with the guy, the chatzer he's usually walking into. And in a normal circumstance, that would be a problem for the people on the right. The righty chatzer would have a problem because they have this guy that walks into their jurisdiction all the time, and he's not part of the Eruv, which means that he's going to make it usher for them to carry inside of their own courtyard. So comes the Gemara and says, if the people on the right made an Eruv, right? They made one assuming that they could use it to carry in their own jurisdiction, in their own chatzer, in their own courtyard. So this middle guy, if he continues to walk in their chatzer, is going to ruin it for them. Because then he's going to asher, he's going to prevent them from combining. Because he's going to be part of it, but not part of the Eruv. So the Gemara says, and the people on the left didn't make an Eruv, and he didn't make an Eruv with them. So what do we say? We say, you have to go walk over there this Shabbos. You're not allowed to walk in our chatzer. You can't ruin our chatzer. This Shabbos, Dochen Oso, that's what I think this is going to mean. Dochen Oso, Eitzel She'en Regilabel. You say, this week you've got to walk over there. Right? On your way to Shul, you walk through their courtyard this time. Don't walk through our courtyard. We made an Eruv and we don't want you to ruin it. And you're allowed to do such a thing. You can tell the person, because he's in this quasi zone, is he connected, is he not connected? So we say to him, even though you didn't make an Eruv with anybody, you have to walk over there so that you don't ruin our Eruv. And the Gemara says, "Zuchagon zeh kofen al midas sedom." And for this is a general concept, we force them to do it. It's not exactly something that we can force halachically because it's not an obligation for him to do either way, but we force them on a rabbinic level. Let's see here, how's the Faria say? We force a person to waive his legal rights in order to prevent him from acting in a manner characteristic of the wicked city of Sodom. Meaning, they didn't do anything necessarily wrong, right? Famously, the Sodom was, you know, they there's all Gemara and Sanhedrin about this, and I don't remember the specifics. But if one denies another use of his possessions, even though he would incur no loss or damage by granting use of his property, his conduct is considered characteristic of Sodom, right? Like Sodom, Rashi tells us about Lot's wife. They wouldn't lend things to their neighbors, even though it came at no cost to themselves, right? The courts may sometimes compel such a person to waive his legal rights, right? So they compel him to do such a thing, even though he doesn't want to, because it comes at no loss. We say, you're forced. We're forcing you to go walk over there. You can't use our chatzer this week. Interesting concept. Okay. I think it's a new thing now. Similar perspective of an individual, but a new concept. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Hamakbid al Chave al Eruvo. A person says, "I don't want to share my food with anybody, even though they made an eruv, but he doesn't really want other people to eat from it. So ein eruv eruv, it doesn't work. You have to be able to combine mashimo. What's the reason? Eruv shimo." The name is Eruv. The name is to mix together, to combine. And if he's not willing to combine, to allow other people to eat from his food, so that's not an Eruv. That's not a true combination. We talked about these yesterday a little bit. Rav Chanina Amar, Eruv, Eruv. No, it does work. Why? Ela Shenikra Ma'anshe Vardina. He's called a wicked person from this place called Vardina. They were renowned misers. But it still works. Why does it still work? We don't know. Presumably because it's still physically combined, even though he doesn't want it to be eaten. Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, HaCholik HaSeiruvo Eino Eruv. If he splits up the Eruv into separate vessels, we talked about these yesterday, like Beis Shammai, so then it's not considered an Eruv. K'man, K'Beis Shammai, T'tana Chamisha, Shekabla HaSeiruvinim, Sanu B'Shnei Kelim, Beis Shammai, Omer Z'Ein Zer Eruv, Beis Shammai, Omer Harei Zer Eruv. We pass in, this is presumably, this statement of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel is going according to Beis Shammai, who says that it can't be in two separate vessels. Beis Hillel says it can. So the Gemara says, no, afilu tema Beis Hillel. Ad kan lo kamer Beis Hillel hasam el demali on the mount of Ayatar. The only time Beis Hillel says that it's okay to do such a thing is when you filled up one vessel and then there was leftover, so you needed to use another vessel. So that's when Beis Hillel says it's okay. Aval hecha de polygame of plug. But when you intentionally, originally, you divide it right away, not because it's overflowing, but because you just want to divide it. So then that, even according to Beis Hillel, would not work. Which is why we said yesterday, we passing the Chachil like this based on Beis Hillel also. So Gemara says, V'tarti l'amali, why do we need two times to tell us this halacha? So Gemara says, Tzrichi, di'iash minan hasa mishum dekapit. If we only said that there's a person who doesn't want people to eat from his Eruv, is no good. So we'd say the only reason it's no good is because the person doesn't want it to be eaten. Aval hacha eim alav, but in this case where it's just divided, so maybe there's no problem of hakpada, they're just things aren't combined together. And therefore, maybe you would think that that's not a problem. Kamash Malan, even that would be a problem, even according to Beis Hillel. And if you would say the thing about the things not being combined, and therefore that's not considered an Eruv, it's not considered combined because it's doing two separate vessels. Maybe the reason Mishum Depalgim Miflag, maybe the only reason that it's a problem is because they're divided. Aval Hasam, in the case of a person who's not Machbid, so maybe that word would work because they're all connected. Emalo, Tzricha. Maybe it wouldn't work, or maybe it would work. Maybe it wouldn't be a problem, similar to what Rav Chanina said, Kamash Malan, that would be a problem. So Gemara says, Amar le Rabbi Abba le Rabbi Yehuda bebe mar tarta le bebe Rav Zakai. He says to in regards to the olive press of Rav Zakai, Mi Amar Shmuel hacholik esiril einir eruv. Did he really say that? The Hamar Shmuel, did he really say that if you split it up, it's no good? Hamar Shmuel, Bayit Shemenichem Bo Erev Enu Tzarach Litenas Hapas. If you make an Erev inside of a specific house, so that person doesn't have to give his own food to that house, because he has his own house. He has his own food in his own house. Meaning, he's got bread in the pantry. Now everybody else in the courtyard is giving him food. So they gather all the food together, they put it in a basket, and this guy says, I don't have to put my bread in the basket, my bread's right over there, in the cupboard, in the pantry. So Shmuel says, that's okay, he doesn't have to put his own bread in. So Gemara says, my time, why is it, what's the reason for that? It does not mean it's as if it's all connected together, even if it's not literally in the same basket. So Hachanami came in the Manach Basal, come on the Manach Hachadami. So too here, when it comes to separating it into two separate vessels, why should it be a problem? So he said, no, Amar Le Hasam, Afapisha ain't pass, my time is to cool Hachadari. The problem, the reason that works when the person doesn't put his own bread in the basket is because he's living there. The whole purpose is to bring everyone together into the same living quarters, and this person is mamish living there, so there's no problem. But in the case of two separate vessels, so not everybody in the two vessels is living in that spot, and therefore it's not going to combine everybody's dwelling place in that way. So Gemara says, very interesting, machlokas here, Amar Shmuel, getting to the crux of Erev. Erev Mishum Kinyan. The reason that we the means with which we combine people is through an acquisition. Each person is giving in food, and it's effectively buying stake with each other, right? They're all investing in the same joint geographic area. Okay, v'im tomar. And if you're going to ask me now that you said that mipnei ma ein konim bima, well, if it's really an acquisition, why don't we use money? Why does everybody literally invest some money into it? So Gemara says, because people don't always have money available on Erev Shabbos. They just spent all their money on their food for the Shabbos meals, and therefore, what they do have is some food. They have a little extra food, but they don't necessarily have any extra money. So Gemara says, but according to that, if you made the Erev, so then, The food itself is the acquisition. Is this a question? Here the Sefaria says it's a question. I didn't think that was a question. Let me see for a second.
They're asking, why don't you use money to make the Erev? Why don't you allow money to make the
Erev? Oh, you're saying hechad the Erev, but what if you did do it with money? Meaning, yeah, in a chanami, we allow you, thank you, Harry, we allow you to use bread. We allow you to use food. But that doesn't mean that we should disallow you to use money, right? That doesn't mean we should prohibit using the money. You should just allow you to use the, you can allow food and you can allow money. So why do we have to say no money? So Gemara says, as you can imagine, maybe you would think that money is the main part. the main issue of zimun del shlechma, and then sometimes it's gonna happen where a person doesn't have money, and then they're gonna forget the fact that they could have just used bread. Because the erev is gonna be forgotten about, you're gonna ruin the whole construct of erev because you're gonna think that you only can use money. I guess money talks. When you use money, people think it's all about the money. But we have to make sure people know that it's not just about money, and therefore we require people to use food. Okay, Rabba Amar, Rabba disagrees. Rabba disagrees with Shmuel, who said it was about acquiring, and he says really it's because of Dira. The whole purpose of Erev is to establish a common dwelling place. And therefore, even though you're giving all this food into the same basket, what it really represents is that we're all eating and we're all living in the same place. So Gemara says, "My benai, what's the difference? Ika benai kli." One difference is whether or not you need a utensil. If it's all based on a kinyan, so maybe you can use a utensil. Maybe you can use something which is not food. Right? You need something which is monetary value, but not to say literal money, as we saw before. But if it's all about dira, if it's all about food, so then who's to say that you could use a utensil? The utensil wouldn't necessarily combine people. I don't know why, but it wouldn't combine people's mentality that we're all living together. I think that's what it means here. Let me see. Even out kli.
Right, that's the concept
is a person lives where they eat. A person doesn't live where their possessions are. Your possessions can be all over the place, but where your food is, that's where you're going to live. So that's the whole concept here, that you can't use a kli according to Rabba, because it needs to be something which establishes your own personal living space, which is important for other halachas also, like, for instance, Neres Chanukah or Neres Shabbos. It's based on where you eat sometimes. Depends, you know, what you look at. But that's one of the elements of it. So Gemara says, Upachos Mishava Pruta. Another distinguishing factor could be if you give in food, which is less than the amount of money which acquires something, right? As we know from the beginning of Kedushin, for those who learn Gemara in day school, that's one of the first Gemaras you might learn, that you betroth the woman with some money. But it has to be significant money, which is why sometimes you'll hear a rabbi under the chuppah say, does this ring cost more than a pruta? And it's the big joke, but the truth is that you have to say it so that people understand that this is a serious acquisition. So Gemara says, v'katan. And similarly, a katan would also be a distinguishing factor between these two opinions of Shmuel and Rabba, because the katan is not able to be kona anything. We assume that a katan, a child, is not, at least according to the default, is that a child is not allowed, is not able to acquire anything because his das isn't complete. He can't fully comprehend the consequence of an acquisition. And therefore, the katan could be a problem, but the katan could live somewhere based on what he's eating, and therefore that would be another nafka mina between Shmuel and Rabba. Is it about acquiring or is it about living? So Gemara says, Amar le'abai le'rabba l'didach kash l'shmul kash. I have a question on both of you. Hatanya, we had a brice that says, Chamish shkabu as erivun shim shem kishahem molichin as erivun l'makam acher. Echad molich l'kulan. When five people get together and one person is carrying it to another place on behalf of all of them, so then it works. Hu nihu dekakani v'sula, but he's the only one that does it. So how is it that everybody who knew who the kadayar b'zulo? He's the only one that's living with it. He's the only one that's taking it. So how is it that either one of the opinions establishes acquisition or establishes a dwelling place? So Amar lo l'didi kasha lo l'shmol kasha shlichus the kula kavid. That's an easy one. The guy is being a shliach on behalf of everybody else. So it's true that they're not literally living there. They're not literally making the acquisition. But as we said last week, zachm l'adam shlo l'fanav. You can make an acquisition for other people, assuming that it's for their own benefit. So Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Chama Bar Guria, Amar Rav Halach Rabbi Shimon, Pasuk Rabbi Shimon. Back to what we were talking about before, that the person in the middle is allowed to carry to the people on this. To himutaras imah vehimutaras imah. So this is a very somewhat of a complicated conclusion based on the machlokes we mentioned before of Rashi and Tosfos. Presumably this is going according to the shita that we talked about yesterday, not the shita we talked about today. Remember today's shita we talked about Shmuel, who says that the middle guy can't go to the sides, but the sides can go to the middle. But yesterday we had a shita, I forgot who it was. Maybe it's Rabbi Chia, that the person in the middle can go to them, and then they can go to him also. So that's how we pass in the end of the day. Even according to Rashi, And according to Tosfos, that both of the middle guy can go to the outside and the outside can go to the inside. Okay. New Mishnah. Mi sheba b'derech v'chashchalo, a person's walking in the way and it gets dark. And from a distance, or not even from a distance, he knows in his mind where he is. He's very good with maps. He knows that there's a tree in the distance. And that tree is 2,000 amas away from where he is. So Gemara says, so we could say, v'amar shvisa si tachtav, my shvisa, my residence should be under that tree. Right, just like we saw before, you can establish your Erev Tchumen. We're talking about Tchumen again. You can establish your Erev Tchumen by using your voice. So he's saying, I know that there's a tree 2,000 amos away. It's a very interesting svar. He says, I know that there's a tree 2,000 amos away. I'm going to establish my Erev over there. I know Shabbos is about to start. I'm going to establish my Erev over there. And therefore, that tree is going to be in the middle of my Erev. It's going to be in the middle of my 2,000 amos. And therefore, I can walk. I can stay over here, right? I'm within 2,000 amos to the tree. And then I can walk to the tree, which is where my residence is. And oh, look at that. I also know that my house is 2,000 amos from the tree, right? And therefore, he's establishing his residence by that tree so that he can walk to the tree and then walk to his house based on the fact that he gets 2,000 amos from wherever his residence is. So right now, he's not by the tree, but he says, I'm going to establish my residence on that tree so that I can go home. Because if he would say that I'm establishing my residence where I am right now, so then his 2,000 amos goes in a radius, and the furthest he can go in the direction of his house is the tree. Right? Instead, he makes his residence by the tree, far away, so that he can walk there, based on his 2,000 amos, from the tree to where he is, and he can then walk to his house from the tree to the house. Very interesting, Sfar, but he says the wording is the problem here. Yeah, Henry.
No, but essentially, isn't this the case of the guy who doesn't know if he's going to go east or west, and we say he can only go in one direction? So how do we...
No, that was a case. It's a good question. It's a similar situation. But that was a case where the guy made a condition. The guy made a condition that I'm going to set up food in each direction. If the people come on Shabbos from this direction, I'm going to go the other direction. If the people come on Shabbos from that direction, I'm going to go the other direction. Here, he's not making any conditions. And he's not changing where his Erev is going to be based on what happens tomorrow. He's saying, my Erev is that tree. That's the tree I'm going to use.
But can you make an Erev in 2,000 amos in two different directions?
No. See, what's that? You always get 2,000 amos, right? No matter where your house is, whatever you establish as your residence, you're going to get 2,000 amos in every direction. So this guy, I guess this is hard to explain, really. Let me, paper here.
No, but my question is, under normal circumstances from your house,
yeah,
can you make a tchum in two different directions and say... I don't know which way I'm going to go.
Yeah. So this guy's not making a tchum. He's establishing his residence, which thereby gives him 2,000 amos to each direction.
Oh, that's the 2,000 amos. Okay.
Right. This is his regular 2,000 amos. He's not extending his tchum at all. The guy east to west is trying to extend his tchum so he could walk somewhere else.
Right.
Yeah. So he's saying, this is my tchum. That tree is my house. That's where I'm living for Shabbos. It just so happens to be that my real house is within the 2,000 amos away from where my residence is on Shabbos. Right? The only problem is, he says the words, Shvisasi tachtav. My residence is underneath the tree. That's what he says. So if he says that, that's no good. As we'll see in the Gemara why that's no good. But if, however, he would say, Shvisasi bikaro, that my residence is at the base of the tree, so the mahalach v'machmir agav adi kar alpayim amah. So then that works. He is allowed to walk to the tree because he's within his 2,000 amos of his residence. Umei karo v'ad beso alpayim amah, and he's allowed to walk to his house, the other 2,000 amos, to get to his house. Yeah, David. Was that David? No.
Maybe just saying under the tree is too vague. Right. Just saying under the tree is too vague. He needs to have a specific...
Right.
You need to measure the 2,000 amot from a specific point, and under
right.
the tree is too vague. If he says, for a particular place on the tree...
Right.
Yes.
So it's a little bit like that, but it's another step beyond that, as we'll see in the Gemara. The vagueness lends to an interpretation that part of the tree which he's establishing as his residence is too far from his house, right? Imagine, for instance, that his house is exactly 2,000 amos from the trunk of the tree, right? If he says, my residence should be under the tree, so it could be that he could be establishing his residence from the branches which are closer to him right now, in which case his house, which is further away, is not within his 2,000 amos. Alternatively, he could be establishing his residency on the far side of the tree, which is too far from where he is right now, and therefore he's not allowed to walk there, right? So it's vague. It's a problem of vagary, but it's also a problem of mathematics. He literally can't get there if that's the situation. So im eno makir, if he's not familiar with it, osha eno baki b'halacha, or he doesn't know the halacha, v'amar shvisa sibim komi, and then he says, I'm just going to sit here, this is going to be my place on Shabbos, zachlo makomo alpayim amal choruach, then he gets 2,000 amos to every direction, right? Agulos, divi Rebbe Chanina ben Antignos, we assume it's like a radius, we talked about this yesterday, it's one big circle, right? 2,000 amos, as if like it's a compass. He's the middle of the compass, and you sort of make a circle around 2,000 amos. However, Chachamim Omrim, Murubaos. The Chachamim say, no, it's not 2,000 amos. He's got to establish which way is to the left, which way is to the right, which way is to the north, which way is to the south, whatever. And then you make a square out of that. You make a square as if to say that I've got 4x4 on this side, or 4x4 on this side. 2,000 by 2,000 on this side, and now I've got 2,000 by 2,000 on that side, and then you get one big square. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina are the corners, right? Those corners that you don't get from the circle. The circle is limited 2,000 amos, but if you would take a diagonal, when you use a square, you get a lot longer of a distance to the corner of the square than you would to the end of the circle. I think the math is that you get another 800 amos. If it's 2,000 to every direction. 800 amos, that's right. 2,000, right? You can do the math for those mathematic people that want to do it, right? You're basically saying that you've got 2,000 to on the x-axis, and then you've got, I guess it's a 45-degree angle. You could figure it out with one of those mathematic tools. You have a 45-degree angle to the corner, and then you can figure out how long that opposite side is, and you can figure out the hypotenuse. Okay, fine. It's 800 extra almost in that direction into the corner. So Gemara says, Kadeshi niskar luzavios, so that he can actually gain the corners. Interesting word, niskar. But either way, he gains the corners. He's rewarded with the corners, according to the Rabbana, according to the Chachamim. Vizohi Sharon, that's what he meant. Hani Ma'ariv Raglav, that the poor person's allowed to make an Erev with his feet, meaning he doesn't have the food to establish it with an actual basket, but he can talk about it, right? He can just say that that's going to be my residence. Amar Rabbi Meir, Anu Ein Lanu Ela Ani. Rabbi Meir says only a poor person can do that. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, we've seen this before. Echad Ani Vechad Asher Lo Amru Ma'arvin Pas Ela Hakel Ala Asher Shlo Yitzei Be'erim Ba'ag Baraglav. That the only reason that we say that you should do it with food, interesting how to see this in light of what we just said before this Mishnah, but either way, the only reason you do it with food is to help the rich people who don't want to walk that far. They just say, they send their food ahead, and that's where they send it with a shliach to say, hey, go put my food over there so I can walk an extra distance. But really, you can always establish it with your mouth. You can always establish it just by saying something or walking to a spot, and that would be good enough for the air. So the Gemara then asks, My lo amar klum. What does it mean? He didn't say anything. So amar rav lo amar klum kol ikar. He didn't say anything. Mamish, he doesn't accomplish a thing. Da'afilo tachtav shal ilon lo matzi azil. Because even under the tree, he's not allowed to go. Why? Let's just read it here. His failure to specify a particular location prevents him from establishing the residence beneath the tree. The fact that he sought to establish residence someplace other than his present location prevents him from establishing residence at his present location. Accordingly, he may walk no more than 4 amos. Meaning, maybe you would think, okay, fine. He said it's under the tree, and under the tree doesn't work for him, but at least he is where he is right now. So says Rav, no. Even where he is right now is no good, because by saying he wants to be under the tree, he says he effectively and in a real way says he's not establishing his Erev right here. He's not establishing his residence right here, but he's also not establishing it under the tree because he messed up the wording, and therefore he can't go anywhere. He only has 4 amos. He doesn't even have 2,000 amos from where he is right now. There's no, like, you can't fall back on the default. Shmuel Amar lo malkum lebe. So Shmuel says, no, it doesn't mean just a problem of vagueness and a problem of establishing any kind of residency. But what he means, lo malkum lebe. So the only problem is that he's not able to go to his house. Aval taftav shel ilam atzi azil. But inside of the tree, he's able to. Aval taftav shel ilam chamar gamal. But he's allowed to make the underneath of the tree, that situation of a chamar gamal, right, where you're just reading the English. Remember this mushal that you're basically stuck between two directions. Who walks behind the animal and prods it, and camel driver who walks before the animal and leads it, in the sense that the tree is pulling him in both directions. Since he does not specify a particular location as his residence, any part of the area beneath the tree could be the place where he established residence. What I was talking about before. Ba limdon menatzafon modin lo menadaro. If he's coming from the north of the tree, so maybe we measure it from the south. Maybe we measure it from the north. He's coming from the south. So the Gemara says, therefore, he can mess up his whole calculation, and therefore we may establish that his residency is underneath the tree, but that's not going to guarantee that he can go all the way home. And therefore, you see the closest area of the tree as his residence, and then you measure the 2,000 amos, which may not get him to his house. So, but he's allowed to be under the tree because that's always going to be his residence somewhere under the tree. It's going to be good enough either to 2,000 amos that way, 2,000 amos that way. So, Amar Rabba, my time to Rav, Mishum de lo Masayim Asrei. The problem, according to Rav, is that, like David said before, is that he didn't specify his place. And therefore, it's not good enough. He didn't do good enough to establish his residency. Another possible reason for Rav Shita is anything that can't be established sequentially because of practical things, even at the same time, is not able to be accomplished. In this case, since one can't establish residence in an area of Dalet Amos on one side of the tree and proceed to establish residence in an area of Dalet Amos on the other side of the tree, neither can he simultaneously establish residence beneath a tree greater than 4 Amos. I don't exactly know what that means, but it's another reason for Rav to say you can't even do anything. Let me see if I can understand this here. Does the Art Scroll explain a little better than Sefaria?
I think the implication is that the entire area of the tree, which was not specific, is a greater area than 4 amos. So,
right.
You were saying before, it doesn't localize it enough. It's too vague, too wide.
Mm-hmm.
And can't be used. I think where the 4 amos comes in.
Right, it could be too wide to establish his residency in that spot. So here it says, "Im yaseh shnei amasim ke'echad ein chal afil echad mihem ma'achar shvim kavar adam shvisa ba'arba amos mesuyames ein yachal achzor ulikba shvisa ba'arba amos nosefes sherei mekom shvisasor shel adam hu ba'arba amos lo b'shmona." If he establishes his residence, it's true you could technically, if you're there, you get 2,000 amos. But if you're going to say that that's going to be my residence, it could be that residence is unattainable from the fact that the tree is too big. I think that's what it means. Levir im kava adam shvisa tachas tzilo shel ilan shehu rachav shmona amos eno kona afilo arba amos mitzulchan. Because underneath the tree is bigger than 8 amos, it's impossible for you to establish residence there because it's too big. It's bigger than 4 in either direction. Should we do the next part? No, we're going to continue doing this tomorrow. So we'll continue on that idea tomorrow in the tent at 4:45. For those who want to join us in the tent at 4:45 before Mincha starts at 5:30. Okay,
The question though is, we have two ways of making an Eruv Tuchumen that we've been through. One is walking there, and one is putting food there. And let's say that where did we come up with you can just sort of proclaim it? Why bother either walking there, whether that works for a poor man or anybody? Why bother walking there and being there at the onset of Shabbos to say this is my base? Or why bother going and putting food there
when you can just say, declare it. Sit at home and say, you know, I know this spot outside the city. It's a particular spot. It's four, four amos.
I think it has to be walkable. You have to be within the walkable area. I think that's what it means. But yeah, there is a good, that is a good question. Well, let's say you can't see it, or let's say you have to imagine it in some way. Does that count to just say something? I think what it means is that you have to be it has to be walkable, which is hanim ariv baraglav. It's something where a person could walk to. So I would assume that that's the limitation, that it's within a walking distance based on halachic walking distance. I think that's what it's based on. We had seen the machlokas last week about whether or not you actually have to say something. Presumably you do have to say something in this case, because in that case, for that we said before, you have to at least sit there or sleep there or do something there to establish it. Here, you can you have to say it from a distance.
Something.
Right, you're only saying exactly. But it has to be walkable. I don't know if you have to literally do anything in that spot when you get there. It doesn't sound like it from the Mishnah. But either way, Gemara Chasima Tova to everyone. I hope everyone's mochel me if I went too fast, if I went too slow, if I took too many questions, if I didn't prepare well enough. Meretz Hashem. Well, Gemara Chasima Tova, and we'll see you tomorrow afternoon at 4:45.
Quick question about tomorrow, Rabbi.